down towards the near corner. Cody Eakin goes in shorthanded, feeds in front, score! It's Carlson! William Carlson shorthanded. Miller, right point shot, score! Tipped out in front, and it's 4-0 Vegas! Here comes Lindbergh, going to get ahead of the defense. He pulls it away, goes circle, he shoots, he scores! Oscar Lindbergh! Now a breakaway, here's David Perron, all by himself, the righty down the middle, fakes, backhand score! David Perron, 1-0 Vegas! Here's Hunt, setting up his man in front, Carrier, score! It's his first goal, William Carrier, 7-0 Vegas!
And welcome in to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a Monday, halfway through the homestand, a little over halfway. Good results all around for your Vegas Golden Knights. Clayton Hamilton here along with Frank Harnish. Big old Frank, how you doing, man? Good fun last night.
Yeah, another victory for the Golden Knights, another emotional game from going into it, but there's always a storyline with every game that this team plays, and things are going well, you know, 1 week away from Christmas, so a lot of people excited about that, in the midst of Hanukkah, for people that are celebrating that, and the Golden Knights continue to win as well, and now arguably the best team in the NHL coming into town, but you know what? Right now, they are tied for first place with the LA Kings, but you could argue that they're actually in first place because the Golden Knights have two games in hand.
They certainly do. And Frank, you mentioned about big game coming in with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and it seems like every time we get together and talk about the upcoming schedule, it's big game after big game after big game. Talk about the road trip. Oh, it's going to be a big game. We got to go to Nashville. We got to go to Dallas back-to-back, two playoff contenders, two Stanley Cup hopeful teams. Come back home. Marc-Andre Fleury is going to return. That's going to be a big game. Pittsburgh comes into town. It's his old team. That's going to be a big game. Florida comes into town. Marcia Show, Riley Smith, Gerard Gallant. That's going to be a big game. Tampa coming into town. Best team in the league. That's going to be a big game. Alex Ovechkin coming in. That's going to be a big game. That's all it is. Big game after big game after big game, and a team that passes the test every time.
Yeah, they certainly have passed the test more than they failed it this year, without a doubt. The Hockey News just put out their first semester grades for the season, and I know that they said that only two teams have A pluses, and that is Tampa Bay and your Vegas Golden Knights, so that's nice to see. The nice thing about this is we're talking about big games, and yes, every game, because there's a different storyline, because Vegas got players from every team out there. You know what's nice, though, Clayton, is that now when other teams see us on their schedule, now they're saying big game, and not a big game for the fans to come to Vegas and enjoy Las Vegas and everything that we have to offer, but it's a big game because they now realize that they are playing a quality hockey team on the other side as well.
Last night started out a bit in the dumps, Frank. Two early goals, a bad one given up by Malcolm Subban, probably one he wants to have back on the slap shot. But the Knights rallied to make it 2-2 at the end of one. They played a scoreless second period. And then Erik Haula made maybe probably the play of the game, which is why it is our best mattress, play of the game, best mattress, best service, best selection, best price guaranteed, when he got to the front of the net and tipped this one home from Jonathan Marchessault.
Turns it down low, penalty is over, it's back to 5-on-5 hockey. Still tied at 2, 8:20 to go in the third. Turnaround shot, tipped home! Haula got a piece, Vegas takes the lead, 3-2 Golden Knights!
That made it 3-2, and what a play by Erik Haula. On sort of a flip to the net where you know that Marchessault was looking to get a change, and Erik Haula stays with the play, makes the tip home.
Yeah, now you'll hear Haula's description of that a little bit later on. We had a chance to talk to him earlier today, but it was interesting because Erik Haula, when we were when you see that play, and Dan Duva says Marchessault with the shot there, I don't even know that it was necessarily a shot. Marchessault was kind of skating backwards. The defenseman was on top of him. He saw an open between his legs. He threw the puck kind of towards the net, and Haula, who was not really in front of the net, but saw the puck come in his way, saw the Florida goalie Reimer maybe a little bit late getting over there to the post, and made a beautiful tip past him. I'm not even really sure that Marchessault thought there was much of a shot of scoring on it, but you know what? What's one of the oldest adages? One of the cliches in hockey. Throw the puck towards the net, good things happen. Well, good things happen there, and Erik Haula gets himself a game winner.
He certainly does. We saw him up at practice. That's where we just came from. Frank and Chris Chapman and I, and we caught up with Eric Halla. We asked him about last night's game and about that goal.
Going back, I don't think it was our best effort, and showed early in the game we gave a 2-0 lead. It's something that's not happened often at our building, and I felt like we got better as the game went on, and eventually it was our line that ended up getting the goal, and doesn't matter who scores, but it's always fun to win.
What was the vibe on the bench after you guys got down 2 goals? Was it hopeful? Was it angry? Was it?
It was kind of the same vibe as you saw in the stands. If you were sitting there, it's kind of quiet. It's kind of, you're kind of down. But we picked it up, and it was, all was well in the end.
On the game-winning goal, it looked like Marshall Schultz just kind of had the puck. He spun around. He threw it kind of towards the net. You were off-center. It wasn't even a shot on goal, but it seemed like you saw an angle there. You went for it and just did a beautiful tip. And did you plan for that to go that way, or did it just kind of just happen?
Yeah, it just kind of happened. We had a power play. I think they came full strength, and Marshy was probably just throwing it at the net. Maybe he knew I was there, and I kind of just try to trail the play and see if there is a puck that comes down, maybe get a quick scoring chance. And I was able to get a tip on it and went in, and I was a little surprised myself.
When you saw that opening, did you even see the opening, or did you just kind of tip it towards the net? Because it seemed like Reimer maybe got there a little bit late. You had the opening, and you just buried it. I know you guys work on that every day, but you usually work at it from shots that are kind of on goal, and that was just a beautiful tip. It's like if you did that 100 times, how many times did you make that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough question to answer, but like I said, it kind of surprised me that. The shot comes, and I just try to make a play out of it, and it's just kind of a nothing play that ended up going in, and I was happy to win it.
Measuring stick is a phrase that's used a lot, particularly with this team tomorrow night. It seems like there's another one, as you have one of the best teams in the league coming in town, and is going to face that atmosphere down at T-Mobile with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. That's those are the games you want to be in. Those are the challenges you want as a hockey player. You want to play against the best, and those are the great, great atmosphere games like Pittsburgh was. And we'll be ready to go.
After coming off 2 games, emotional games, with Pittsburgh and with Florida, is there anything special about Tampa Bay? I mean, you can't get up for all 82 games in a season, but it seems like every game there's a new challenge and a new rallying cry for this team.
Yeah, a lot of people believe that they're the best team right now in the NHL, and that's a great challenge for us. If those challenges, you can't get up for those, then there's something wrong with you.
That was Eric Halla, game-winning goal last night. And Frank, he's been right in the middle of the action all homestand, on the road as well. That's his 6th straight game with a point.
Yeah, and not only has he been in on the action, but his entire line has been. They've had some critical goals for the team. They do good jobs no matter what they are out there. They're basically, and Eric Halla is that type of guy, he is exactly what embodies this team. Not a superstar player, not a household name, but a guy who gives you 100% maximum effort, and given the opportunity and put in the right situation, he makes good things happen, and he certainly did on that goal last night. And then, of course, a couple empty netters to really seal the victory. And although they were down 2-0, if memory serves me right, they got the 5 goals after that.
They did indeed. And Eric Halla, one of those guys that you have to love the work ethic, you have to love everything that he brings. When he was added to that line with Neil and Perron, you really saw an uptick in their production. We saw that David Perron, James Neal, neither one skated today. That was planned, a maintenance day. But Eric Halla is still out there, still getting work done.
Yeah, without a doubt. And if you go to City National Arena and you check out the skates and that kind of stuff, don't put too much into if you don't see a guy out there or this, that, and the other. It's a very long season, and some of these guys are veterans. They've played a little bit more than others. They know what they need to do. And as we see the schedule really start to compress itself after the first of the year, and we're going to be playing 3-4 games every week, and there's maybe not as many back-to-backs, but there's a lot of a game, then an off day, then another game again, and it's almost like a checkerboard or something. Look for more guys to be healthy scratches from those practices and that, because you need some rest time, and as the season goes on, that chemistry on the ice gets more and more, and that's one of the things that we talk with some of the players about as well, because these guys are getting more used to each other, and it's kind of scary, because normally, and one of the things that we talked about at the beginning of the season, before the season started even, it might take a while for the chemistry to gel on this team. I don't know if I've ever seen a group of this many people throwing together in hockey where the chemistry has gelled this quickly.
It's Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton taking you through on a Monday. And one of the things that really helps with those healthy scratches. It does give other guys opportunities to work on things. We saw Will Carrier today get some practice time with Eric Halla. He's taken the red shirt off. He's ready for full contact. He was in the maroon today. That's a good sign to see Will Carrier is nearing a return.
Yeah, and you know, it's always a good sign when we see any of these guys coming back. But Carrier, another one of those guys, he's a heart and soul kind of guy. Maybe he doesn't do some of the things Halla does, but he does some things that other guys don't do. He blocks shots. He also can score when he's given the opportunity. There's a lot of guys that I don't want to call them blue-collar guys because that's almost an insult to their skill level that they had, but they do have that blue-collar mentality. They do whatever the team needs to do to win, and they do whatever the coaching staff needs them to do. If you're asked to come in and kill a penalty, you kill the penalty. If they ask to flip you onto the power play, then you try to fit in there as well. There's a lot of guys in that locker room, and they're all NHL players, but what we don't see a lot of in that locker room is gigantic egos on these guys.
And from the grit and the grind and the blue collar to the white collar and the flash and the flair, that is Jonathan Marchessault. Jonathan Marchessault was your player of the game last night with 3 points. Our player of the game is brought to you by Brankus Team Realty, your home sold, guaranteed.
Vegas takes over. Smith comes out to the neutral zone. Deals right. Marchessault fires. He scores! Two Florida Panthers combined to seal this one for Vegas. Smith to Marchessault, 4-2 Golden Knights.
And the two former teammates from Florida, now Golden Knights, hooking up to get the empty netter to put it out of reach.
Yeah, and that was a nice shot by Marchessault. And you know that he had a big smile on his face. It's the whole team did. But yeah, it should also be pointed out, Marchessault's fifth three-point game for this team. So when he does score, if he gets on a roll, whether it's scoring goals, assists, combinations of both of them there, this is a guy who is very valuable and a guy that I can pretty much guarantee you that fans down in Florida wish they still had around, along with that other guy that he teamed up with there, Riley Smith. Those two guys are a dynamite, dynamic duo for this team, and they're still young. They could be around for a long, long time. And you know that him, Smith, and Gerard Gallant all enjoyed that goal as they did all five goals.
And you can't understate the importance of the empty netter. I mean, that was a one-goal game. It was surprising that Coach Bugner decided to pull his goaltender so soon with a little over 2 minutes, and that really helped seal the deal because there were some sketchy moments there late in that game. Even though they only had two shots on goal in the third period, the Florida Panthers, they were pressing.
Yeah, and usually if you see a goalie pulled that soon, it's when they're down two goals. You know, normally they wait around 90-second mark or so, but different coaches have different theories. Of course, Patrick Waugh used to pull his goalie earlier than anybody I can ever remember. But, yeah, with Florida, and it was interesting, too, because when you're listening to that, right before that, if you go back about 15, 20 seconds, they're like, oh, and they've already pulled the goalie. It was technically right after the goalie skated off the ice that the Golden Knights got that puck. Smith threw it over to Marchessault. He saw the opening, he went for it. If they do keep him in there, you know what? They pull him at 90 seconds, or even if they pull him right at 2 minutes, still a little bit earlier than some teams would, they still would have only been down the one goal. And then James Neal's one at the end of the game was, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody flick a puck the entire length of the ice so nonchalant and casually and still just hit the dead center of the net.
I described it last night as your average, ordinary 185-foot spinorama.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was. And just totally nonchalantly, and he knew it was in as soon as he let it go. Like, if they would have been playing that little game that they do between periods, that might have gone right through the little hole right in the dead center where somebody just won a car in a game in Vancouver recently, one of the fans out there. I mean, he not only hit the net, he hit the dead center of the net. And it wasn't like he was right on dead center. He had an angle, but he knew what he was doing. And by the way, William Karlsson, now you need to score again because James Neal has taken over the goal-scoring lead for the team.
That's right. Somebody get James Neal a truck, for God's sakes, for hitting that shot. That was a good one indeed. 5 goals last night. Nate Schmidt, Colin Miller, Eric Halla, Jonathan Marchessault, and James Neal combined to give the Golden Knights a 5-2 victory over the Florida Panthers. And it really captures two really great games, spectacular atmospheres. You think back back to John Merrill and his game winner against Pittsburgh really starting this whole thing off.
Yeah, without a doubt. And again, two emotional games. And there was a different feeling here, too. If you go all the way back to the first game of this homestand, the Carolina game, when they got down in that one, you had a feeling that the energy wasn't there that night. Everybody said the right thing before the game, but you could tell it was a different thing. The crowd wasn't as into it. The team wasn't as into it. They fought back and they tried to come back, and they ended up getting a point out of it, but it just wasn't the same thing. Last night when they got down two goals, although some of the life was sapped out of the crowd, you still had the feeling that this team believed in themselves, that Malcolm Subban was going to, you know, redirect his focus. He probably gave up one, if not both, goals that he would like to have back because they're saves that he makes on the nights when he's really feeling it and doing well. The team clamped down defensively. They didn't let too many more pucks come towards their young goaltender. And offensively, they still believed in themselves, and they just kept on plucking away. And like you mentioned, with Schmidt and Miller, when you get goals from your defensemen to start it up and tie it up before the first period's even over, then the second period there was no scoring, but the Golden Knights outplayed them. You had a feeling in the third that it was going to be the Golden Knights period and their chance to win the game, and that's exactly what ended up happening.
That second period stayed static at 2-2, and part of that was because of John Merrill, and a really good save by Subban, but the puck kind of laid in the crease, and it was John Merrill to the rescue to clear the crease. So a really good play by him defensively last night. Of course, the goal against Pittsburgh. And we had the opportunity to catch up with John Merrill after practice today and ask him where that game winner against Pittsburgh ranks in his career goals.
It's a big win. I was just really excited to help contribute and be out there with the guys and to score a game winner like that. And it really felt good. So it's up there.
The atmosphere inside the building that was pretty special. To me, it was as loud and as passionate as opening night home opener was. Did you feel that on the ice?
Yeah, definitely. It felt like a playoff game. You know, it's felt that way most of the year. But I think that game had a special meaning, obviously, for Flower. And I think there was a lot of Pittsburgh fans in the building, so it kind of had a unique feel to it. But it was a lot of fun out there.
When you got behind early last night, what was the sense on the bench? I think there was a sense in the crowd of, I don't understand what's happening, but I think we're going to come back. Was it the way it was on the bench?
Yeah, no panic. I think these guys in this locker room, where we played from behind, we played with the lead. We're just a really resilient group and a hardworking team, and two goals isn't going to keep us down.
After two really emotional games like Pittsburgh and then, of course, Florida with Gerard Gallant and the players that played for them, is it difficult to get up game after game after game? Because it seems like every game there's a different storyline with this team. And, of course, Tampa Bay, arguably the best team in the NHL, coming in here tomorrow night, got to get up for that one too.
Yeah, it's easy in that building, though. It's the fans and the energy in that place makes it pretty easy to get up and go. So, you know, I'm not worried about any of us needing anything to get going.
Have you thought at all about maybe changing your Twitter handle to GW Merrill for Game Winner Merrill or anything like that? Because four of your seven goals, game winners, man. I mean, yeah. That's all you do.
Yeah, I guess. we'll see about that. But, it seems to be always at the right time, right place. And like I said, I'm just really happy to see that one go in the other night.
Every night, John's a test in the NHL. Tomorrow's going to be that, especially for you guys on the blue line facing a prolific offensive team like Tampa Bay can bring to the table.
Yeah, definitely. They're a high-powered offense, and I think we'll be ready for it. We play our game. We're really hard to play against, so we'll shut them right down.
Getting ready for Michigan, South Carolina for the bowl game. What is your message for Coach Harbaugh and the boys in blue?
Go blue. That's all I've got, yeah. I don't know. Go blue.
Go blue from John Merrill, carrying the flag for the Big Ten, and a big weekend for him, for a guy that has been in the press box, been a healthy scratch for a majority of the season, to have the game winner on Thursday, have a key defensive play on Sunday. We saw Lucas Pisa back at practice today in the red non-contact jersey. We suspect that perhaps he could be ready by Saturday. We wouldn't anticipate that he'll be ready for tomorrow, so John Merrill could get another look.
By the way, the only thing that makes me nervous about John Merrill is the fact that he has you saying go blue so nonchalantly and aggressively and actually with a smile on your face. You're hashtagging it out now. I think that might be one of the signs of the apocalypse. An Ohio State Buckeye diehard fan cheering for the Wolverines.
I know. He's just a likable fella.
He is a very likable fella.
He's a likable fella. You got to root for the Big Ten. You know, when we're not playing each other, You got to carry the flag for the Big Ten.
Yeah,
so.
not necessarily.
Not necessarily. No.
No.
No. Well, I'm proud of you, John. You're doing a heck of a job.
John's a great guy. John's a great guy.
And like I said, we expect that he will probably get another look tomorrow. We don't anticipate that Lucas Spezza will be ready. Like I said, everything's subject to change, but he was skating today. Lucas Spezza looked good, but still in red.
Yeah, and again, John Merrill. What he did last night, yeah, he might not have scored a goal again, but he played a good, solid all-around game. He's one of the big reasons that Florida went 20 minutes without a shot on goal, and I believe only had three shots in 31 minutes of the game, the last 31. So the defense did a great job in front of him. And you mentioned the fact that Merrill cleared the puck out when Malcolm Subban made a big save. He didn't have to make a lot of big saves after that first period. But remember this, in some ways, when you're not facing any shots whatsoever, sometimes that can be more difficult for a goalie. So all the credit and kudos to Malcolm Subban as well, that he didn't just kind of get in that lull where it's like, oh, it's an easy night for me, because sometimes that's when it's the most dangerous, when you don't have that action in front of you, that those are the ones to save. When he was called upon, he made them. That's what good goalies do. That's what Malcolm Subban is becoming more game after game after game.
Yeah, full marks to the Golden Knights for a great performance last night, 5-2, your final. Tampa Bay coming up next. We will have all of the action for you, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop right here on Fox Sports Radio, your home of the Golden Knights. When we come back, we're going to talk to Colin Miller. He's going to talk about his big goal from last night, and he's going to address some rumors and things floating around the Twitterverse. We don't want to miss that, and we're going to take a look around the league as well. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, kicking off on a Monday. Two games this week, Tampa Bay Lightning on Tuesday, Washington Capitals on Saturday, a big test before the Christmas holiday. We will have all the action for you, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop tomorrow from T-Mobile Arena as the best team, arguably, in the NHL. The Tampa Bay Lightning come to town.
Yeah, and again, you say arguably because right now at this point in the season, but there's a reason that they're the first team to 50 points. They have incredible goal scoring. They have solid, solid goaltending. They have all-around talent. They have a first-rate organization. This is actually the Tampa Bay Lightning team that I expect to see almost on a year-in and year-out basis, but most years it seems like they get snake-bitten by the injury bug, and there's injuries all over the league, and we'll talk about some of those here in a little bit, but this year they've stayed relatively healthy, and when this team is healthy and they believe in themselves and they get their chemistry going, they're extremely dangerous.
Gerard Gallant going to see his old line mate in Steve Yzerman, the general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning, when he was asked about that at the press conference today. If he ever thought that that would be something that he would run into in his life. And he said, nah, we were having too much fun back then to think about coaching and general managing. But they said they remained good friends, and it'll be nice to see his old buddy.
Yeah, and certainly two guys that definitely know the game of hockey inside and out. Gerard Gallant, one of the premier coaches in the league, and Steve Yzerman. I'm going to use that word arguably once again. Arguably the best GM in the game, because this guy knows what he's doing when it comes to building a team. And Tampa Bay, again, they're lights out. In fact, there's a story on sports ESPN today asking about what teams will challenge Tampa Bay, if any, for the Stanley Cup. A little bit early to be talking about that because of trade deadlines and this and that and teams staying healthy. But one of the teams omitted from that conversation is our very own Vegas Golden Knights. So still not – the Kings are there. So we got the same amount of points as the Kings, and we've played two fewer games, but we're still not in that conversation. Okay, keep those blinders on, folks.
I want to stay as an underdog as long as possible. I think that only helps the cause. And last night, the Golden Knights didn't look like the Golden Knights, at least early on, got down 2-0, but they were able to tie it up at the end of the first period. As a result, Frank, as we often see, of hard work. It was James Neal, Jonathan Marchessault down below the goal line, maintaining possession, gaining possession, and getting it up to the blue line for Colin Miller, who let go this ripper.
The puck ends up on the right side wall. Vegas controls. Miller shoots and scores! Colin Miller makes it a tie game. 2:40 to go in the first.
Colin Miller with the shot that we have fallen in love with, Frank. Such a good, accurate, hard-nose shot right from the blue line.
Yeah, I know you call it the Ripper. Gary Lawless calls it the Clapper. I call it the Howitzer because I grew up in Chicago listening to Pat Foley describe the games. Whatever you call it, bottom line, it is one dangerous to be in front of slap shot out there. And we saw that again last night when one of the Panthers did block one of those shots, and he was feeling none too well after doing so. But we see that almost on a nightly basis now. I'll tell you what, if I'm on a team and you're asking me to block anybody's shot on the Golden Knights, I'll say, all right, anybody except him.
Yeah, and I think he's got all three. I think he's got the howitzer, he's got the ripper, and he's got the clapper, because you'll see him with the quick wrister, you'll see him with the half slapper, and you'll see him with the full slapper, but the whole arsenal for Colin Miller. And we caught up with him today and talked to him about that shot and that goal.
Yeah, Marsh did a good job. I mean, bringing it up high there, and then he just really just put it on a tee for me, and I was able to be in the middle of the ice in a good spot, and it found a way in, so it was nice.
It seems like you really like to tee up your shot and give everything, and you have a very heavy shot. Mm-hmm. I know it's kind of interesting because some people are actually saying how shocked they were when you kind of took a wrist shot on one of the power plays later on.
Yeah.
Do you prefer to really tee it up and just let it fire?
I don't know. I mean, it's a fine line in this thing. I mean, it's more about getting it through, I find. I mean, in other years, I've been taking more slap shots. And, I mean, the different nights, I mean, it's there more than other nights, right? So you just kind of got to take what they give to you. I mean, some nights it's there a lot more often. It seemed to be last night. But it's more about getting it through. You know, if you're taking a big slap shot, it's getting blocked. It's not really doing much, right? So just trying to get it through any way you can.
When you first showed up in town, the book on you is your fast, big shot. We've seen a lot of defensive integrity in your game, seen a willingness to do the hard work defensively. Is that something you consciously went into the year and said, I'm going to focus on this? Or is that something that's always been there, it's just been hidden by that great shot?
Definitely. I mean, in other years, I think you're getting used to the league, right? This is my third full season in the league now. So, I mean, you feel just so much more comfortable, you know, on the defensive side of the game and stuff like that. I think the offensive side was came a little easier to me, but the defensive side definitely. But no, that's something that I think everybody wants to do. You know, everyone wants to be a well-rounded player, and if I can round out that defensive side of my game, then I think that'll be a good thing for me going forward.
When you talk about feeling comfortable with this team, a lot of people didn't think that this team would gel until maybe the midway point of the season because of chemistry and nobody playing together before. Are you amazed at how quick this team has gelled? And is there still a lot of chemistry to still get involved with the team, or is it pretty much there right now?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I think on our special teams, I mean, especially our power play, that's something that it takes a while. I mean, you look at some of these units, I mean, they've been together for a couple of years, and you can really see, you know, they're really in sync, where I think we've done a good job so far, you know, but I think there's still, you know, definitely some areas to improve. There's always areas to improve. So we definitely came together well, I mean, quickly, and it's going well, but, you know, you can always improve, right? You can always improve on stuff.
On a more serious note, a bombshell Twitter story hit the Twitterverse this week. The Vegas Golden Knights ping pong rankings were made public.
Yeah.
You were down at number 13.
What am I at?
Why is it that your hockey shot is not translating to the ping pong table?
It's just no accuracy. I'm brutal at ping pong. But I think I've even dropped since then, to be completely honest. So, no, I think Perry, Dave Perron made that up, and it's been fun so far trying to play some of the guys.
Now, is it like the college football rankings that it's a combination of stats and the eye test?
No, it's just if you win, you're moving up, you know, type thing. If you lose, you're moving down. So it's kind of how it works.
And could you reflect on Derek Englund being down at number 26 behind a blank spot? Is he so bad that he's behind a blank spot?
I haven't even seen him pick up a ping pong paddle yet, so I think that's due to non-participation, so we'll see when he picks one up.
Are you better at other bar games like darts and pool?
I think I'm a better pool player, definitely. Better pool player, darts, I'm brutal at, but stick with pool maybe over ping pong.
8-ball, 9-ball, or snooker?
Snooker.
Snooker?
Snooker, definitely.
Very nice.
Okay. Real quick on the ping pong table there. Have you ever thought about maybe just unleashing your slap shot on the ping pong table? Maybe the guys will back off and you can jump up in the rankings.
Maybe I'll fire one head high maybe, and that should send a warning. But no, it's all for fun. It's been fun getting that ping pong table in there, so we'll play a little more here.
Have you ever done the Happy Gilmore where you play with a stick instead of a paddle?
I have not done the Happy Gilmore, not yet.
All right.
We'll work on that.
Something to look forward to from Colin Miller. Good luck tomorrow night.
Okay, thanks, guys.
That was Colin Miller talking a little hockey, but more ping pong. And, Frank, this is what you get to do when you're winning. You get to have some fun. You get to lighten things up. You get to have those big ping pong battles in the locker room. And Colin Miller got a little work to do to climb up those rankings.
Definitely has some work to do there. By the way, I didn't realize how big ping pong actually was in this city. There's actually some ping pong organizations and clubs in that, and they have tournaments, and they have qualifiers for meets around the West Coast and everything. So there's some pretty good players. But Derek England, maybe he got a ping pong game misconduct or something, but hasn't even picked up a paddle. So that puts him, what, behind the Pomeranians that were out there today?
Yeah, behind every – I mean, he's behind Reed Duke, and Reed Duke hasn't even suited up this year. He's still –
he's still on IR.
Yeah, exactly. It's a long, long way for Colin Miller to claw his way up in the ping pong rankings. But that was fun to talk to him about that stuff. And you know who else was a big ping pong player? Prince.
Was he?
Yeah, Prince used to have his people reach out to other celebrities and challenge them to ping pong matches, and he would send a limo to wherever they were and bring them to secret bunkers to play ping pong against him.
The bigger question is, did he serve them pancakes after the ping pong matches, much like he did to Charlie Murphy and his crew, following the very true story about when they played Prince in basketball?
Yeah, he's an interesting fellow.
He served us pancakes.
See, yeah. I would think the bigger question is, did he wear the high-heeled shoes so he could get up to the table?
Well, he did. He did when he played Jimmy Fallon. And Jimmy Fallon talked about his ping pong encounter with him, and he said he did play in the heels. And, he said that he was contacted by his people, and they sent him a limo, and he was whisked off to Susan Sarandon's private ping pong club to play Prince. So
wow.
Ping pong, big in the celebrity and athlete community. So Colin Miller, if you're out there, let's get the act together. I expect you to climb into the top eight by season's end.
Just one more note on that, since you brought it up with him and we're talking about it. If you build your own ping pong table, which me and my best friends, when we had a place back together when I lived back in Illinois, when you make the table, there's actually a paint called ping pong green, which is a special type of paint with the exact texture and everything to build your own ping pong table. So if you don't want to buy one, if you want to build your own, we built our own ping pong table, but there is a paint called ping pong green, which is the official paint because of the texture and everything of a ping pong table.
Well, we're working on it. It's in the works. The official Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show versus Sinbin.
Yes.
Bowling
tournament. Yes. So, yeah, there's a lot to get. Like I said, all this stuff is fun, and you get to do it when you're winning. So keep it up, Golden Knights. Let's look a quick look around the league. There are some teams that are suffering the injury bug and the suspensions as well. We will start with suspensions. Colorado's Eric Johnson suspended 2 games for his hit on Vladislav Nemeskov.
Yes, Nemestikov, he got boarded in the game. He's going towards the net. It was basically a cheap shot by Johnson, and he went headfirst into the boards. Hopefully for Tampa Bay, everything will be okay with their player, but it's just one of those cheap shot hits. There's no place for it in the NHL.
This news just breaking, Shea Weber of the Montreal Canadiens out indefinitely. He has left the team and is returning to Montreal to have his foot examined.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, and we talked about it, Colin Miller and the shot he's got and so many guys out there. I know block shots are a big part of the game, and every coach wants to see their players block shots. And when you see a guy get a big block, he gets high fives and fist bumps from everybody on the bench. But it is so dangerous with the way that these guys fire the puck today. You go out there and there's not much protection down there. There's a lot of foot injuries out there right now, and I suspect there will be a lot more before season's end.
Including Brock Besser of the Vancouver Canucks, who blocked a shot last night and then was ruled out for the rest of the game, and he was on crutches. He's set to have an MRI later today. He's leading all rookies with 17 goals and 30 points, but could be out for quite some time.
Yeah, and if he is out for some time, that might be the only way that some of these other rookies can catch up with him, because Besser, and we talked about him before the season started, good-looking youngster for Vancouver, has really become the story of that city. The Sedins are kind of on the back burner almost now. This is one of their young stars, and they certainly don't want him out for any length of time, because Vancouver doesn't have a super lot to cheer about right now, but this is one of the guys that they do, leading candidate for Rookie of the Year at this point.
And the
rest of his line injured as well. Bo Horvat out until January with a foot injury. And Sven Berchi has a similar timeline for his fractured jaw.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird when you say it's like, oh, well, now we got to put somebody else in the line. Well, no, now you just need a whole different line. When an entire line is out for a team, that is one snake-bitten organization right now.
New Jersey, though, is going to get some players back. Left wing Taylor Hall will return to the lineup against the Ducks tonight after missing two games with a right knee contusion. And another guy who fell victim to the blocked shot and had a broken right foot, missed 12 games, Kyle Palmieri, he is set to return as well.
Yeah, New Jersey, one of those teams I've been surprising a lot of people, actually playing pretty good hockey right now. And you know what? You want to see guys in there. I don't ever want to see anybody go down with an injury. I don't like to see guys miss time because of injuries, even the teams that I don't like. I want to see the best players on the planet night in and night out. So good for New Jersey, and as dangerous as they are, well, they just improved even more.
And they'll need all the help they can get. Adam Henrique making his triumphant return home with as a member of the Ducks now to face New Jersey, the team he started with this season.
Yeah, and I guarantee you that if there's a team out there that doesn't have any sympathy for other teams because of injury problems, it's probably the Anaheim Ducks, because they have had injury after injury after injury.
NHL's three stars of the week are out, Frank, and this has some hometown connections for you, being the Chicago kid that you are. Kaner. Patrick Kane, the right wing of the Chicago Blackhawks, number one star of the week, 4 goals and assist, 5 points, including a pair of decisive goals to help the Blackhawks go 3-0 and extend their overall winning streak to 5 games.
Yeah, and as much as Patrick Kane means to that team, and he certainly means a ton to it, and the offense is finally rolling a little bit, and some of these youngsters are starting to contribute as well. To me, the big reason that they went 3-0 last week, yeah, Kane scores. You have to score goals to win, but you also have to stop the other team. Corey Crawford coming back between the pipes and looking like he's playing. I was talking to a couple of friends of mine from Chicago the other day, and they said, look, it's a real simple recipe in Chicago. Crawford plays, we win. When he doesn't, it's kind of 50-50.
A team that's sort of 50-50, and you never know what you're going to get. I guess you do know what you're going to get with the Philadelphia Flyers, because they either win a bunch of games or they lose a bunch of games. Right now, they're winning. Second star of the week, Brian Elliott, goaltender of the Flyers, went 3-0 with a 131 goals against average, a 943 save percentage, to guide the Flyers to their 6th straight win on the heels of a 10-game losing streak.
Yeah, and the Flyers are one of those teams that, no matter what sport we're talking about, I kind of always refer to as a Jekyll-Hyde team. When they're good, they're very, very good. And when they're bad, they seem to be a very streaky team. You look at the talent they have out there, and they do have talent here and there. And when they're on a roll and they're all going on the same cylinder, they can be very dangerous, and they're a team that you don't want to play. And then all of a sudden, they just go into a funk where the whole team seems to take a step back. So they're a very strange team. Every year they think, maybe this is the year we're going to put it together. No, more often than not, it hasn't happened, but maybe this is the season. Who knows? I know one thing. When they draft these young players for them, when the guys are supposed to be injured and not playing, that means no bubble soccer or anything either. They need to make some smarter decisions sometimes in that organization.
And if you want to talk about something that is absolutely typical of an organization, you look no further than the third star, Josh Bailey of the New York Islanders. Bailey had 4 goals, 4 assists for 8 points, including his first career hat trick in 4 games. But just like it always happens with the Islanders, that great stretch for him resulted in them only going 2-2 for the week.
Yeah, and that is definitely a not a good sign when you're getting guys that are having career games and maybe part of a career year, and it looks like things are going your way, and you're one of the that shows his effort going in there, but maybe the lack of the team effort or the team talent overall. When you can get that kind of output from somebody, you still get the recognition from the league. But your team is only 2-2. Yeah, things could be better on Long Island.
And that's so typical of the Islanders, who tend to like to waste good performances and like to underachieve. And as you had mentioned earlier, the hockey grades have come out, and the Islanders get a B. And that's really what they are. They're just a solid B year in and year out.
Yeah, and they're a team that you usually think, okay, they have enough talent, they're going to challenge for a playoff position, they might make it into the playoffs, but they're not one of those teams where you go, oh no, if we make the playoffs, we might have to play the Islanders.
Right.
They're definitely, and B, I think, might even be a little bit generous. You say they're B. I think they're kind of a C. They're the average team. They're the team that plugs along, and every year it's like, okay, they're going to have some nice games, but they're not a threat to do anything, really.
Yeah, not at all. Let's start at the head of the class with the clash tomorrow night at T-Mobile. The only two teams garnering A+, Tampa Bay Lightning and your Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, and obviously the Tampa Bay Lightning, the first team to 50 points. They are the best team in the NHL right now. We'll see if they come here, what's going to happen with them. Certainly, I don't care how emotional the last two games were, Vegas is going to have no problem getting up for this game. Do they have the talent and the firepower to match these guys? Well, we'll find out tomorrow night. And the Vegas Golden Knights, I don't see how you don't give them an A+, since there were people in our own city here saying that they were only going to win 20 games the entire season, and they've already surpassed that, and we're not even to Christmas yet. So, yeah, Vegas and Tampa Bay, the two most deserving teams for the A+. I have no problem whatsoever.
Six other teams garnering a gold cord for an A average. The Columbus Blue Jackets, the Los Angeles Kings, New Jersey Devils, Nashville Predators, St. Louis Blues, Toronto Maple Leafs. Out of those A teams, who would you rather be, Frank?
Who would I rather be? Well, St. Louis, when they're healthy, is very dangerous. But you know what? I'm going with a team that got it together last year, and I still think they're incredibly dangerous. The Nashville Predators, I still think, are one of the teams to beat. If there's a team that I would say is the most dangerous to keep Tampa Bay from going to the Stanley Cup Finals, I would say it's the Predators.
Sitting at the A- grade, the St. Louis Sharks, Washington Capitals, and the Winnipeg Jets. Only an A- for the Jets?
Yeah, the Jets, that actually does surprise me, because I think they should be bumped up. And San Jose, I'm not sure that they're an A, that they're an A-. I mean, they have done some good things, but again, San Jose, one of those teams that we've seen before. Washington, you can give whatever grade they want to. You can also put an asterisk by it. They will last as long as until they face the Pittsburgh Penguins. Unless the Penguins don't make the playoffs, then maybe this is their year.
Surprising teams at C- and below. Anaheim Ducks, Montreal Canadiens, Pittsburgh Penguins, all with a C-. And sitting at a D, the Edmonton Oilers. Out of those four teams, who's most likely to get out of their funk?
Well, if I'm going to go strictly talent-wise, I'm going to say it's the Edmonton Oilers. This is a team that every game, when they finally blow a team out, we're okay, now they're about to roll. They have the talent. They have all these guys there. I would almost say that they don't even deserve a D. If there's an F in the league, it might be them, just because they're such underachievers at this point. No reason that they should be this far down. And if there's a coaching hot seat in the NHL, I can't believe there's a hotter one than there is in Edmonton.
Absolutely. Todd McClellan, he needs to keep his head on a swivel. Let's look at the D-, the team's fighting for the most ping pong balls in the old NHL draft lottery. Arizona Coyotes, Buffalo Sabres, Ottawa Senators, who's going to have the most balls?
Well, wow, that's it's three teams, so juggle all three balls and see what you come with. Every one of these teams can be absolutely horrific. Ottawa may be the biggest surprise there because, again, they did have some expectations. Now we hear their owner saying that, oh, man, they might look better in a different location or something like that. So doing the old threatening to leave Ottawa and do different things out there. They just had the outdoor game the other day. Arizona, I just don't think, is that good of a team. And Buffalo, every year I hear the Sabre fans saying, oh, we're going to be better this year. It doesn't happen year after year after year.
You know who else says this is going to be our year? The Cleveland Browns. And we have seen how that's worked out for them. Are the Buffalo Sabres the Cleveland Browns of the NHL?
Well, they might be, and then again, they might not be. All I know is that I don't think either one of them will take 108 years like the Cubs did. So just you know, be patient. Be patient. Of course, you'll be long dead before that happens.
Yes, I will never ever see that. This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. When we come back, we're going to go and see what happened at City National Arena today. A bunch of furry critters found a home. Listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. Welcome back to Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. We're winding down, but Frank, some furry little friends of yours are getting a fresh start today. They were out at City National Arena, a bunch of pet adoptions, Pucks for Paws.
Yeah, a very cool event that they had out there for all those Pomeranian dogs that were found from Sandy Valley, I believe they came. They were adopting 10 of them there today. That's why we had a hard time finding a parking place today, because a lot of people there checking out the dogs. I know one of the dogs, they said the most popular one, Flower.
Yeah.
Wonder why that would be.
I wonder why. And they have a nice picture of Marc-Andre Fleury was kind enough to pose.
Also a Wild Bill.
Yes, there was. There was a Wild Bill. Would you rather have Wild Bill or Flower? Your Pomeranian.
Probably Wild Bill.
I like Wild Bill.
Yeah, Wild Bill. Wild Bill would be good.
Plus, he likes ABBA.
Yeah, he does. He does like ABBA.
Although Wild Bill might rip up my furniture and that kind of stuff, so Flower might be a little bit more tame.
Yeah, and there are still Pomeranians available other ways if you missed out on today, correct?
Yeah, you can just Google it or something. There's an online facility that you can check them out as well. And but yeah, just go to the Animal Foundation and check out all the Pomeranians. There's several of them out there.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Get with us tomorrow, 6:30 for pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop. Stick around. T.C. Martin, the doctor, is next.
Happy birthday, T.C.